Blog Talk Radio.
Just imagine getting him and his staff, all his membership in
Bitcoin.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me to this passage, and I'll
glory to God.
Welcome to Eagles in Flight Hour. Eagles in Flight Hour. I'm Pastor Marcus Dupree. We thank God for each and every one being on tonight, and we thank God for what He's about to do, and even how He's preparing the people of God, even in this time of season, to be used and to even experience Him in a unique and different way. And different way by us, amen, from what we've been used to. But at the same time, He's the same, still the same God. And so as we allow Him to do what He desired to do, we also want to encourage your hearts just to this season prepare yourself to be used by God and allow Him to do whatever He desired to do. Amen. You know, just we a lot of times we look at other people and say, oh, God, use other people mightily. And we tend to forget, you know, that we are in that number too that God want to use. God don't have a respected persons. Amen. But He want to use each and every one of us to do His will, whatever it takes, you know, whatever it takes by the power of His Spirit, that's what He want to do. Amen. Amen. So so as we continue to go forth, let us keep in mind and know that God is preparing us. As He's preparing us, He's giving us a word too. And He's preparing us to give us a word to go forth and release to the people of God, even to the world. Well, release to the world, I should say. And really help them to be impacted by the word of God as He comes forth. Amen. 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 We're going to go forth. And as we get ready to go forth, let's pray. Father, we thank You right now in the name of Jesus. I praise, give You honor, glory. This is the day that You have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank You for Your divine protection. Thank You for Your word. And thank You in this hour in Jesus' name. Thank You for shielding us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank You for covering us from the top of our heads to our feet. And we thank You right now, Lord God, as You empower us tonight to go forth with Your word. And we also thank You for anointing Your hearers to hear what they say of the Lord and to receive in their hearts. And Lord, even they apply to their lives, Lord God, that they shall see the results of the kingdom, the results of the word, Lord God, in Jesus' name. So we thank You right now, Lord God, that we are empowered by Your word to go forth to do what You have called us to do, Lord. You have separated us for Your use. In Jesus' name, and we thank You, Lord God, for the impact of this word tonight, Lord God. Let it touch us, Lord God. Let it warm our hearts. Let it relate us or cause us to be related to this very word that's going forth in Jesus' name. Thank You for the impact, for the change that's being made, even as we speak right now in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, show us Your glory, Lord God. Do what is pleasing in Your sight, Lord God, that we should give Your name all the praise, honor, and glory. And we thank You, Lord God, even as You continue to prepare us, Lord God, to be meet for the master's use. We thank You for the preparation, Lord God, the process of the preparation. And we thank You, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank You for the manifestation and the change that shall come forth in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, we thank You right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank You for Your faithfulness, the truth of Your word. Lord God, as we go forth tonight, and we thank You for this word as well up on the inside, and we thank You for the smooth release, Lord God, that Your word shall be Your word shall find each and every one of us right there where we are in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, we thank You. We give You praise, give You all honor and glory. In Your Son Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. Jesus, increase that we decrease now. Jesus, increase that we decrease now. Jesus, increase that we decrease now. In Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for this opportunity to be before you tonight and even to come to share the word. We thank for each and every heart that's here, that's able to hear and receive as well. And we're going to ask you to turn with us, amen, to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought for your life, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto the stature? And why take ye therefore why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like as one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we say, eat? What shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof. Let's go also to Acts chapter 1. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. And one last area to go to. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Okay, 8 verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed by with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame and were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Amen. So I want to talk tonight from the subject of the power of the kingdom within you. The power of the kingdom within you. Now, as we look at Matthew, and we see in Matthew chapter 6, where we start off, as we start off talking about the verse 25, we see he was saying, take no thought for your life. As he goes on to talk about the provisions, talking about clothing, those things that we care about in our life, those things that we need for everyday activity, you know. And so as we see, as he's talking about all of this, he's going on to say how much more important you are, you know, than all those things that God, even that God provides for those stuff, because he cares for you. So as he goes on into make mention, he goes on to say, mention about the lilies of the field and how they, you know, grow and they're tall not, and neither do they spin. And then he was talking about even how the beauty of the, with all the Solomon's clothing and stuff. He was even the natural thing of those lilies Even Solomon's clothing couldn't touch the natural beauty. You know, just those simple things about life that sometimes we don't really, you know, realize how, you know, how things are so awesome just by it's been made by the hand of God. You know, of course, we make things as human beings, but these things that God make or naturally made, it's a mystery how awesome those things are. So simple, but yet profound. But as we go forth deeper into the kingdom, as he goes on to talk about, you know, not being concerned about what you're going to wear and those things, you know, so he told the disciples, don't take a bag or just take the clothes you have on your back and don't take a staff or strip, all these different things. Trust him to provide. So as we're seeing how as it's beginning to shape up, he's bringing down to everyday things that we need in life and we seek him. We not to be so overly concerned about those things, but leaving everything in this perspective for the fact of it is that we go to him for those provisions. We go to the kingdom. He said, verse 32 says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." If we think about this, this is what people of the world, they live for this stuff. I mean, that's how that's their focus for working. They want to have the gain, have a nice things. And you know, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. But we have to make sure we keep the right perspective of life. Is that more important than our relationship with God? Or is that more important than us doing whatever God say to do? We have to keep things in the right perspective, because that's all the world. People in the world, that's all they want to do. They want to look good. They want to have the best. They want to look like the American family do, of having everything they look, you know, they want to have. I want to have a nice house, picket fence, and nice cars. You know, all these different things. The materialistic, though, but the most important part of our life is our relationship with God. Because after all that's done, all that has gone to corruption, all that, you know, you pay, you close your eye, you can't take none of that with you. It goes down to the most important part. Now, where did your life go? Did you prepare yourself for the most important thing, that is with your relationship with God, so you can go on and live on with the Father? So he goes on to say, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So he brings it down to the most important part is as we seek his kingdom, for us seek him in his kingdom, you know, his righteousness, God's method and God's ways of doing things. When we seek him, now everything will happen in this perspective. God will take care of you as you take care of him, as far as staying connected with him. So all these things will happen in the sequence as it's needed when we put our trust in him and begin to seek him for whatever it is that we need. But most it won't be our biggest focus. And sometimes it's hard to do because we live in a very materialistic world where things, you know, we need things, you know, in order to function and do. But at the same time, not forgetting our walk with God should be the first thing, most important thing. Because without him, we can do nothing. Without him, you know, everything, you can have all the cars and everything in the world, but it would not suffice that vacuum, that place in you that needs him, that needs the kingdom. So as he's pointing this out to us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. Take, verse 34 says, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought things of itself." Sometimes we're so concerned about tomorrow, we can't function today. So we have to make sure that we have a proper balance with all of this, and at the same time, make sure our focus is on the one that can make a difference, make the difference. Is our focus on God, or is our focus on our pocketbooks or our checking account? See, what is our focus in the world as far as what are we dependent on? Are we dependent on how many hours we can work on the job, or dependent on trusting God that he is our source and he shall provide? These things are very important to us, and it's important to God too. But we have to make sure that we're looking to the right one. We can't be looking to the world, but yet we belong to God, and we're supposed to be trusting God, but we're trusting the world and the world system. But remember, the world system and God's kingdom are two different operations altogether. And the world system will lead you away from God to trust in the things of the world and those tangible, seem tangible things, those things that the world system provides, versus trusting the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things, God's operation, God's provisions. So when we look, as we look at these two pictures, it's two night and day. See, the kingdom is always going to point to humanity, point to you being able to do it for yourself. The kingdom of God is always going to point to you trusting, not in yourself, but trusting in Him and allowing Him to be the provider of your life. So we see how the two kingdoms are going to lead us in different directions. You know, so we understand the kingdom of this world will always point back to being empowered by the world itself. But we're talking about the kingdom of God will always put you right back to God, you trusting God and relying on God, which is the way it's supposed to be. Glory to God. So as we go a little further, let's go back to let's start with this kingdom. Kingdom is a country whose ruler is a king or queen. You know, we talk about Jesus being the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen. And so we go on. The kingdom is also the spiritual world of which God is king. God is king. Amen. And the realm in also the realm in which God's will is fulfilled. That's a very important one. Because God's will flowing through the kingdom of God is God-powered, God-funded, God-resulted. You know, when we see the results that comes forth after applying the kingdom, bringing forth the kingdom, you know, we'll get more into that. But as we see, as we apply the kingdom into this world, we're going to see some things happen that only the kingdom can do. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, let's look at the first part of Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, let's say verse 5. If anyone desires prayer or need to call in to have a comment or anything, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, and you press 1, and that will allow you to be able to speak. Amen. All right, so Matthew 6, starting at verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the cities, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. See, the world way of doing things, you know, that's once again, it always points back to the flesh, pointing back to the world. It's not anything that's going to give, you know, even going to bring glory to God. So even though these are who's supposed to be priests, but they're being hypocritical and they're not being faithful to what they're supposed to do and who they're supposed to be faithful to. They're doing things, but at the same time, it's drawing attention to them, to their flesh. And this is a pure picture of what the kingdom should not be. It's not flesh operated. Is God supported, God sourced. You know, when we trust, it all goes right back to Him. When it goes to the glory, it goes to the praise. You know, it all goes back to God. Amen. And He goes on and says that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. So if we're doing things in vainglory and just trying to get some attention, God said, you get your reward. You know, yeah, you won't be seen, you'll be seen. That's all you're going to get. You're not going to get what you're supposed to get, the rewards of the kingdom. You basically cancel it out when it goes to anywhere else besides God, when the glory goes anywhere else besides God, or the attention goes to Him, the focus goes to anything else besides Him, it's canceled. You got it's null and void. It's void. It's not going to go forth and be what it's supposed to be. It's going to be dry. It's going to be empty. It's going to be it's just no God in it. Because it's all about you and your flesh and whatever else you're trying to make important. So it's not going to have the effect that it could have had if our focus was right. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shalt have shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So his instruction, when you go pray, separate yourself, prepare yourself. You know, he said, but when you pray, enter into your closet, into that closet. And that also shows, too, that when you go forth to go pray, that should be a separation from you in the world. It should really, that's a time that should be separated and at the same time devoted. That's a time of devotion to God. When you spend that time in prayer and you're focusing on giving God your attention, you go into Him and spend it in devotion, and that time you're devoted. That's what a devotion is. When you actually, that's time that's been devoted to spend with no one but God. And you give that daily. You know, that's where we have daily devotions. And that time of your devotion is when you visit and spend time with God as a normal everyday activity that you do. At the same time, you go there with anticipation of spending the time with Him and also having the results or even meeting Him in that place along with you. That your time in prayer should never just be, oh, I gotta go spend time, I gotta go pray. It should never be a hung-dung thing, but we need to be able to be excited about looking forward to spending time, because we don't know what God is going to do next in that time and what you're going to experience, what He's going to show you. It should be some excitement in that time when we get ready to go into prayer. And it may not start off like that. It may not, because you have to kind of, first of all, you have to get your mind and locked in and to spend in this time. Then you have to get your heart into it and your desires into it. See, we can desire a lot of things, but we have to make sure we really desire God, because if we let this world teach us and train us, your mind will be with everything else but God. It'll be with everything else but prayer. So we have it. So sometimes in the beginning, it's going to be a little fight to reposition yourself to really get into God's presence. But I encourage you, as you press in and get to that place in God, you will begin to find yourself praying. You'll find yourself speaking or getting His presence to where you know that you've been with God. Matter of fact, even to the point to where people will know that you have been with God, because there'll be such a presence of God on you. It'll be so strong. Amen. As we go a little further, he said he shall reward you. He said, shut the door to the Father, which is in secret. See, God isn't in the crowds of the people to where, you know, we want to do stuff to be seen and bring glory to the flesh. See, God ain't in that. God is that one-on-one place in that time that you spend in a nice quiet time where He want to hear your heart as you are able to hear His. That's that time, that secret place time. That's why it's very important, and it's very important that we get that time and have that time to separate it. And okay, as we go on further, he said, which thou should show reward, he should reward thee openly. So He's going to reward you by, you know, a lot of times no one can see where you're in that time of prayer, but the rewards of that time in prayer, people will see it. They'll see when you get up and sing, and they'll feel the presence of God when you sing. They'll see when you get up and preach how God used you in an awesome way. They'll see just when you're serving, doing whatever you do, that the presence of God is on you, the glory of God. People will know His presence on you, because it'll have such a radiance that people will know, oh, you've been with God. Your time with God is will be seen or displayed, you know, as far as He will have a way to bring that attention to you, not necessarily attention to you, but people will see, because of the way God will move and relate with you, they'll see how close you really are. Relationship is how you relate to one another. You one or two people relate to each, or two or three people relate to each other. So as you begin to relate with God in a special way, He will display Himself on your behalf. You will find yourself in the midst of a crowd to where you touch someone, they'll be healed. They'll, you know, certain things that happen because He's going to demonstrate, and He's not only demonstrate, but He's going to manifest Himself with you and before you. Like I said in John chapter 14, amen, there's a section where he talks about, you know, you love, you keep my commandments, I'm loving you, you loving me, and because you love me, the Father is going to love you, and we're going to come and make our abode with you. We're going to come live with you. We're going to be with you. We're going to stay with you. Amen. As you stay with you, now you begin his presence to be so strong on your life, and you know, there will be different times that he will manifest himself on your behalf. And that's the thing about it, because it is not something to bring attention to you, but he's going to display himself, and as he displays himself, people will know that you are his child. I remember our first year being married. I know we first year we got married. Our first year being married, we had our anniversary came up, and I know that I was a barber during that time, and you know, I was being a barber, I'm meeting some different people, and there's a guy I met that he has a limousine service, and I said, oh man, that's great, man. You know, it's like, I said, man, you know what would be nice, man? I said, man, where would you charge me, man, to come by my apartment and pick my wife up, you know, for our anniversary and take her out? I mean, you know, I'm just thinking, I'm reaching big. I'm like, shoot, this is my first year. So here it is. Brother said, you know what? Give me such and such, and you have me for the night, just for 4 or 5 hours. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I mean, we could do this. I was like, well, okay. So I paid him what he was looking for, you know. And it wasn't a whole bunch. He really hooked me. The brother hooked me up. He really did me good. So all of a sudden, I tell my wife to get dressed. I'm gonna take you out tonight. And she said, what? You know, she said, where are you going? We're going tonight. I was like, just wait. This is what you see. But I told her at a certain time. I went ahead and told her. I put a blindfold on her, and I told her. I said, okay, now. And all of a sudden, I think the guy blew the horn, or somehow he let me know he was there. I can't remember if he called me or blew the horn. But anyway, so we came downstairs. We were staying in apartments. All these people, all the different people in the apartment section was, so no, they still saw limousines. Like, oh man, what's going on? What's going on? And so as I brought her downstairs, I had a blindfold, brought her downstairs, walked out the door, and took the blindfold off to a nice stretched limousine. Our first year anniversary. So when she, you know, took her in the limousine, and the people was like, oh my God, just so blown away by that and everything. And you know, so I was, because of my favor with the, you know, because of the customer, favor with the customer, it benefited my wife. You know, we was able to have the opportunity to go forth in the stretch limousine ourselves, have 4 or 5 hours and everything. So our relationship, it works like that. See, because of that relationship that I had with him, I was able to access a limousine. Not only access a limousine, but then have it for the length of time that I wanted to have it. It didn't cost me a whole extra that it would cost someone else. I got a deal that really was you know, great, awesome deal. So, you know, he knows it's a little something for his time, but at the same time, we probably just pay for gas. But at the same time, it benefited us so well because we had the luxury of riding the limousine. Our very first anniversary. So, you know, that's a small example of your covenant with God. When you're walking in this thing with God and you have a true relationship, he will display some things on your behalf. He will cause some things to happen that people will know, man, you must be special. Well, because God did that thing for you. Okay, for instance, on a different level, how was it that Joshua was able to command the sun to stand still? The sun didn't move because of his relationship with God. See, with his relationship, because that was never done before that or after that. Joshua had the privilege of having that opportunity to actually command the sun to stand still, and it didn't move, and it was able to whip through the Canaanites. I think the people whoever they were fighting, they was able to whip them a whole day long, wipe them out. They had all the sunlight they needed until the battle was over. Then the sun proceeded on out, so it was able to get dark. But for all the time that he needed, time basically stood still just for him to continue to fight and finish it. So, you know, God will do things on with your relationship with God. God will do things for you that he wouldn't do with anyone else. That's why it's so important for us to have a strong relationship with God, because what God, what you get out of your relationship with God is priceless. It goes so far beyond what you can actually imagine or think, because what he looks out for you is far greater than what we can do. Amen. Moving on here. But that was an anniversary we would never forget, how you know how that happened for that. Just going to show you God's favor, man. Well, he will do it for you. He will do it. And he sure enough did it. So, amen. Verse 7, when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me do a verse 10 right here. We will start. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will come. His will, his method of operation, come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what God desires for us to do, he wants us to be positioned, you know, through him and by him in this earth to bring forth and release the kingdom of God, his mind, his will, his expectations, his desires, whatever it is that God wants to do on this earth and can do. He wants that to be released into this earth realm. And this is why we are here. This is why when we got saved, he didn't just snatch us right there. No, he wants us to see the same way Adam in the very beginning. Adam was positioned in the Garden of Eden, and the kingdom of God was supposed to go forth into the earth just like that, as far as how it was perfect in the kingdom. I mean, perfect it was perfect in the Garden of Eden. So the same way it was perfect in the Garden of Eden, that's how it was supposed to be throughout the whole earth. But we know man fell. Because they fell, okay, that wasn't accomplished. But as we walk out God's will, his desires for us, that we display his kingdom. That people see and experience the kingdom through us, because we are his kingdom representatives on the earth. So because we're his representatives on the earth, there's going to be a lot. There's a lot going to come out of us. So once again, anyone desire to call in, the number 347-945-5416, and you can press 1, you can get into the call. Amen. So he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as he releases the package of the kingdom, per se, through you, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The same way, go to Matthew 16, and we're going to see. And let's see. Okay, we see. Let's go to verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou, Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Okay, he's talking about truth being the truth of knowing who Jesus is, Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Okay, so he's talking about that. Now, verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Okay, the NLT version says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. whatever you permit on earth shall be permitted in heaven. See, when we talk now we're seeing another part of the kingdom coming forth here. We're seeing in authority. We're seeing in power. So when the kingdom comes, we're seeing where now God is allowing his, as through us, he's laying out, demonstrating the power of the kingdom through us. People are seeing, now we're seeing the results of the kingdom, what the kingdom can actually do through us. It's not just, that's why this whole thing goes so far beyond just going to church. But God wants his will to be expressed in this earth. He wants people to be able to see the power of the kingdom and experience it, be changed by the kingdom. See, we're here to win souls. We're here to, that's why his heart desires is to win souls. Because remember, the church is not the building. The church is the collective body of the living entity, living us. We are the church, the collective body. We are the church. So his whole thing is his expanding the church on the earth. We're talking about us, you know, as far as seeing the manifestation of God's presence on the earth through his people. As we're collecting more and more bodies coming together, making the kingdom, the spring, expanding the kingdom as far as throughout the earth with the people. And then not only that, but the rules on this earth, some things are you know, when we are subject to, okay, the earth realm, things are, it is what it is on earth. But when we're talking about heaven, the kingdom of heaven, it's not, the kingdom of heaven does not operate necessarily by the earthly realm, the earthly authority of the earth, even though they're two separate. But still, we still respect what is being, or need to be respected here on earth. But at the same time, see, even us, we're not citizens of this earth. We call it diplomatic immunity. Because see, once we are born again, because we're born again, We're no longer citizens of this earth. Our citizenship has changed. So because our citizenship has changed, the power and the authority that we flow from has now changed. We don't go from we don't flow from the earthly standpoint, as far as do and function like the world does. Our kingdom, our kingship and authority flows from heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And this is why we have to understand when things happen in this earth realm, or things going in the world, it should not have the same effect on us that it does people who are not saved. This should be a difference. We should have a different stance, a different different display of life. Okay, we should have a different attitude. I put it as an attitude. When it comes down to when things happen on this earth, we should understand, we should be able to know how to divide and understand, okay, this is earthly stuff. For instance, the world system pertaining to money, finances. If the market crashed, we shouldn't be panicking, you know, losing our head, because really, it's not the world who takes care of us anyway. If our trust and hope is there, because see, we can, even though, you know, it should not be that the earth, the earthly system should be what we put our trust in. As believers, our hope, our trust, our belief, everything, our source should be God. If we have it in God, it doesn't matter what happened to the world. And this is why it's awkward when we have believers who are reacting to things that happen on earth the same way as people who have no faith, people who have no relationship with God. How does ones who act like who, the ones who, how is it that the ones who have a relationship with God acting like the world? It has to be a difference. It should be a difference. It should not be the same. We should not act the same way as someone else who's not born again. Because our faith and our hope is in God, not the world system. The system crashed all day long. It shouldn't be. Now, I'm not saying that we have, you know, you don't know, we go mindlessly to it, no, because we understand, because we're living in this world, but we're not of this world. But at the same time, it should not cause us or take us off track because the system crashed. Our trust should be in the God system anyhow. Okay. He said, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So whatever, and technically the way it is, whatever is released, you know, whatever is allowed in heaven, it also can be released on this earth. So it seems we actually going to say it the opposite way, to where whatever is released, whatever is permitted in heaven can legally be permitted on earth. Whatever not permitted in heaven, it's not going to be, we do not permit it on earth. So we know the enemy, you know, doesn't, he want to try and he won't have position over someone's body, whatever case may be. Well, because of the kingly authority, we have authority over those spirits. Amen. We have the authority to cast those things down. Matter of fact, for those who don't believe me, let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, let's go to verse 15. So when those demonic forces and different things act up with people, see, we should not be panicking. Because as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we have authority. Okay. Let's see. Let me say this. Let me hold that spot there. And let me go to Acts real quick. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, then we go back there. Acts chapter 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. So now we see here, because when we receive the power of the Holy, when we receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, that empowered us. Now we have installed a battery pack on the inside of us of the dunamis power, power that's beyond your natural strength, a power that is a spiritual packed power, power that goes beyond that function that flows through the spiritual realm, but at the same time, it's been equipped in you. The power of the Holy Spirit. He's in operation. He's there with you. He's been installed in you. Amen. You can say, or download it, whichever way you look at it. But now you have power. Dunamis power. So we go back to Mark 16. Now we're going to see what having that power enables you to do. Okay, verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That power is in you to help you to preach the gospel, enable you to preach, go out there and speak, preach the gospel. And he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. See, he that believe and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believe not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now he said, for those who believe, and in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is just from the basic of receiving him as Lord, as well as, you know, far as even being receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we have authority to cause some things to happen. You have a chance to, of course, cause stir up life, lead someone to Christ, or, you know, bring them to a place of salvation. You have the chance to speak in new tongues. You have a chance to take up serpents. Have a problem with the serpents. We talk about the serpent. That also represents witchcraft. When we talk about witchcraft, when people like to sprinkle a little dust and throw a little egg or so, all that stuff of that seed, because of the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you and your relationship with God, you have authority over that mess. You don't have to listen here. They can throw sprinkle stuff all around you want. They may have a power or some kind of whatever they may believe, but God has all power. He's in you. You got to remember that. Why are we running from witches and warlocks when God has given you the power and authority to overcome these things? Now, of course, I don't mean you go into areas and the enemy's territory and pick fights. I mean, it's just something you just don't do, because now you're provoking God and you're trying to, you know, you're getting all in the will. You're all in your flesh. Because, you know, it's almost like God is there, especially if God is, you know, you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you come across this here. Now God is protecting you. He will shield you, guide you through it, whatever, you know, in case it be. You put your trust in Him, He'll bring you out. Now, we're not like Ghostbusters going and trying to look for no trouble. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to look for something. But at the same time, remembering that you have the authority. You have authority over them. Don't be in fear. I mean, there's this group I was with one time, they don't believe in calling the devil. They don't believe in calling his name. They just want you to say the enemy. They were like, they were afraid of him. I'm like, really, are you serious? I'm like, y'all have power over this thing. Why are you afraid of that? But a lot of times we don't realize it, but when we do silly things like that, we give the enemy power that he don't even have. Authority that he don't even have. He shouldn't have. So amen. So but be mindful how you go about it and do what you do. And then realize that you got authority. You don't have to sit there and just accept the enemy running through your house. You take authority. I remember this one time years back when we first got married. Me and my wife was in the apartment. We were sitting in the apartment during the time. It was some noise we heard in the kitchen. And it was just sound, you know what, it just sounded like something foolish the devil was trying to do. Just stir up some kind of confusion to try to bring fear. He said, no, I'll see it in my best. I'm not getting up for you. That's why I command you in the name of Jesus, get out of my house now. Go right after that happened, go right to sleep. We ain't get up. But you gotta be able to serve notice to the enemy and let him know you're not afraid. Amen. So anyone desire to call in to need prayer or ask a question, comment, the number 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, press 1 to get in the queue box. Yeah, don't be intimidated of the enemy. Don't be afraid of something that God has given you authority over. Sometimes you may not know, but once you know, now that you know, amen, you know, we have to understand that we, now, and I also too understand, I do keep in mind too, of course, every Christian is in the strongest of other ones. Well, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you want to be strong to where you can walk in your authority like you need to, you have to build yourself up in the spirit. You have to build up. You can't just, you know, you don't want to come to the enemy half-cocked because, you know, hey, you're right. You have authority over him, but guess what? If you haven't been spiritually built, if you haven't been building yourself up, you won't have the power. You have the authority, but you won't have the power to do it. Does that make sense? If you may have the jurisdiction to do it, but if you don't have the equipment, the equipment or the power to empower. Okay, for instance, you may have a generator. It may be say 25 watts. I may have a 1500 watt generator. Okay, even though we both have the authority to release power, because we both have generators. You have 25 and I have 1500. There's a big difference there in that. Because I'm more power to get some things done. You have little power and that's all the juice you got, and you might can't get a whole bunch done at all. Now some of us we all are generators. Let me say it in the general state, all of us, we all are generators. We all have the ability to store power from God or to walk in that power. We have the ability to do it. But some of us build ourselves up and some of us don't. So when opportunity comes for the Spirit of God to want to use us to release power and for us to demonstrate that power and our authority, we come up short. Well, we could have, but we didn't because we have not prepared ourselves for the battle. So the enemy now has, you know, has a hand up, especially that enemy. Listen, if that enemy prepared himself for you, but you didn't prepare yourself for him, that's a mismatch. Not that you couldn't have beat him, but you didn't prepare yourself. So even when we're walking, really walking and demonstrating the kingdom of God, we have to keep in mind that we're only going to be as strong as we prepare ourselves to be. If you, I often say about even by intercessors, if you want to be an intercessor, but you can't pray for more than 10, 15 minutes, that's going to be a problem. You need to learn how to pray. You need to even build yourself up, build up your stamina praying. Let's go to Jude 20. Which chapter? Chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Jude. Amen. Jude 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let me see, read that again. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There's another one I was going to go to. But anyway, so we talk as we're building up yourself, yes, faith. Romans chapter 10. But so if you want to build up your faith and to strengthen yourself, you know, far as spiritually, praying in the Holy Ghost is the way you do it. And I know some people have their thoughts about praying in the Holy Spirit. You know what? You sit there, you know, we have to keep in mind that God has given us the power, given us the Holy Spirit to help us, to strengthen us, to empower us. It's up to us. Once he's given us the gift, it's up to us what we do. Two men, they both desire to work out. One, actually get a plan and actually work on that plan. Spend time in the gym. Discipline himself. Make sure he go every day. Well, his reward is he's bulked up, strong, you know, looking, I mean, shoo, like a powerhouse. Well, one person, he made it every now and then, whenever the sun would shine, well, he may feel like it. You know, if he just feels like stopping by the gym. Well, his result is he just is what it is. It doesn't look nothing, anything change at all. Because if you're not consistent on what we do, we can't see the full result if we need to see. So as we begin to spend time, so make it priority to spend some time during the day, hour, 30 minutes, hour, whatever it is, to build yourself up in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay, Romans 10. 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not just hearing, just anything. No, hearing by the word of God. See, gossip does not give you faith. Trash talking don't give you faith. But hearing, faith cometh by hearing, in hearing by the word of God. So we need to hear the word of God if we want to increase faith. So you increasing your faith by hearing the word of God and praying the Holy Spirit, now that's a winning combination. That's a 1-2 punch that will never fail you. And you find yourself getting stronger in the things of God, and this is why when it comes to you operate your authority, you're so much stronger. So this year, challenge yourself to walk in the power of God. Listen, you've been equipped by the kingdom of God to walk in power, demonstrate power. We were not built to lose, my friend. We were not built to lose. We were built to win. But it's up to us if we don't prepare ourselves. Let's see. They said if you don't plan to win, you plan to fail. We have to. We have to pray. We have to press. We have to spend time building ourselves up so we can see and have the results of the kingdom that we need to see. If you want to walk in power, prepare yourself in power. Prepare yourself by the power of God, the presence of God, and the word of God. This is what we have to take into our system. See, a runner or a bodybuilder is not successful on his own. Just by wanting to be. He has to do some things. Work out, eat right. I mean, even if he doesn't eat, he's not perfect, you know, greatest eater, but he just needs to eat, and Mr. Stubbs is going to work along with him where he's working out, You know, spend time working out, have a routine, amen? And there's different things he has to do, and stay disciplined. Discipline is, you know, being consistent what we do. These are things that's going to take for us to be successful with the kingdom of God inside of us. There's so much more. There's more, but we'll come back to that. But this is going to be the end of it tonight. But I encourage you, take what you've received tonight and apply. And remember, you've been powered, packed by the Holy Spirit to go forth in demonstration and power. You've been power packed by the Holy Spirit to bring change in this earth. You've been power packed by the Holy Spirit to walk in a place, a closer walk up with Him, to really bring forth some results and change. So, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for touching each and every one in Jesus' name. Thank you for the impact of your word tonight, Lord God. Thank you for your presence, your power, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for demonstration of your love. Thank you for breaking some things loose, pray, Lord God, that is upon each and every one. We bind the spirit of procrastination, laziness, Lord God, spirit of frustration. We bind you up now in Jesus' name, and we loose the presence of God. We loose healing, restoration. We bind a brokenheartedness in Jesus' name. We cast that down. We break it out in Jesus' name, and we thank you for the flow of the anointing to rest upon in Jesus' name, Lord God. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for healing, restoration from spirit, from spirit, soul, and body. All things to be well with us in Jesus' name, that we shall progress further in the things of God. Help us, empower us, Lord God, to walk in the power like we've never walked before. In the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you right now. We give you praise, give you honor and glory. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. If the floor, you open the floor for there is anyone who need to know the Lord as Lord and Savior, if you want to be saved right now, follow me. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for I'm a sinner. I've sinned, and I've not walked in that way. Lord, I thank you that you raised you, that Jesus died and you rose him. And thank you, Lord God, for the change for him coming forth with power. And we thank you, Lord God, for your demonstration of your love that has kept me and has strengthened me to now be in a place of to receive salvation. So, Father, so we thank you, Lord God, for those who receive salvation, who open their hearts to receive. And we thank you for bringing them to that new place in you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. So, now those who may need to rededicate your life, Lord, forgive me for going astray. Thank you for bringing me back into right fellowship with you, Lord. I believe I receive a new walk, even a new charge of life in Jesus' name, that I will walk in your power, walk in your might. I am not defeated, but I have the victory. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for bringing me back into right standing with you, that I shall now walk in victory, no longer defeat. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Join us again on next week as we continue in this, amen, talk about, amen, the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, as you walk in, talking about this power. Remember, as you apply the word this week, make sure that as you apply the word for the power of the kingdom inside of you to come alive and really come forth, you've been equipped with the power. You've been equipped with the package, I should say, to walk in the power. There's some power there, but we need to charge up and go forth and release. Don't be afraid to pray for some people. Pray for some people. Just begin to read that word and get encouraged. Just do what you see. Listen about what you see the Lord doing. You know, now listen, don't go walk in no waters yet. Now, y'all make sure you start with the tub first. If you can try to do that, start with the tub first. When you can walk in the tub, the water in the tub, then you're ready for the big sea. Okay? So, amen. So, anyway, be encouraged. Amen. Demonstrate your faith and begin to walk and do some great things in God. Don't be afraid. That's another thing, too. He has not given you the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. So, don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid of a challenge. Go forth in the power of His Spirit. God bless you. Love you all. Have a nice week. Amen.
anybody in here been through some storms? If you've been through some storms, raise two hands. Well, I see some folks didn't raise their hand. I want to tell you, your storm is on the way. Do I have a witness here? All of us have to go through. Do I have a witness? In fact, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. In fact, I want to tell you tonight, you have to go through in order to get out. Do I have a witness here? Anybody here, if you've been through and God brought you out, I want you to tell two people, say, neighbor, I've been through, but I'm still here. Tell somebody else that.
I'm gonna make it.
Does anybody here know God brought you? I can't hear you. Does anybody here know God brought you? Grace.